Blog Talk Radio.
It's in your name that all demons shall fall. It's in your name that I'll heed to your call. It's in your name that all power is given. I have authority in your name. Oh, in your name. It's in your name that I shall walk the
walk.
It's in your name that I shall talk the talk. By your word I'm anointed. And I'm told I have authority in your name. Lord, in your name, listen, it's in your name that I shall lift my hands. It's in your name.
Senior, right here on the Proceeding Word. As always, I'm elated to be with you yet this day, another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. He made them all. Day one, day two, day three, day four, and day five. You are in day two. It's a wonderful thing to know that when you are in Him on a day He has made, He's got a plan for your life. In spite of you and what you thought and everything you engineered and all that you went to the table and put together and constructed and tried to bring forth and make a manifestation of, it does not compare to his will. Today, we are going to learn what it means to be in his will, to be a part of what he's desired for you in the day he made. Get this, he made the day for you to work in, not the day for you to do what you want. That's the interesting thing that everyone needs to understand, comprehend, and watch this, literally embrace. The day was made before man was made, and then he made man to come in and do in the day that which pleases him. So at the end of the day, when man was made, the Bible declares, it's so beautiful, the Bible declares, the God of our salvation declares, that when he had made the sixth day and all that was prior to the sixth day, he then said, I don't have anyone to work what I've created. So let me create man and let us do it in a way that it is in our image and that it is in our likeness. And then he will rule what we've made in these 6 days. So the beauty here is that, again, this is the day. This is day two. That's right, from sundown Saturday until Sunday, and then from sundown Sunday until sundown today, which is Monday on the Gregorian calendar, you are in day two. Well, my Bible tells me early in Genesis chapter 1 that Yahweh, our Elohim, made this day. That's right. And when he made this day, he then made you and I, Adam, mankind, to what he intended for it. So this day, Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. I don't know why we don't do it. I don't know who convinced us we shouldn't do it. But I'm going to make a submission, and I'm going to make a render to you today that you should. You know what? I can't talk for you. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But I tell you what, the Bible declares that where two or three are gathered in his holy, loving name, there he is in the midst of us. That means that when two are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of us. So those of you that are gathering in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, and you know that our Elohim is love, the Bible declares, brethren, let us love one another, for love is of Elohim, and everyone that loveth is born of Elohim, but he that loves not knows not Elohim, for Elohim is love. And therefore, when two gather in his name, he's in the midst of us. I feel his presence right now. I can tell some of you are here in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, and in that love, hallelujah, we will find purpose, we will find destiny, and the potential to fulfill it, because we're in a day he has made, and we're trying to seek out his plan for the day. Well, in just a few hours, we'll be entering into day number three. That's right. It's called, they call it Monday night, Tuesday. Yeah, I get it. But if you really know him and understand him and look to embrace all that he has for us, it would do us a good thing to delight in him. Yep, that's our broadcast for today. We're going to be talking about what's it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord. What does it mean to delight ourselves in Yahweh the Lord? We're about to go there. It's a good thing to understand it. What does it really mean? When does he delight, and when does he give us the desires of our heart? And how does Yahweh get us to delight in him? What does delight mean biblically? Will he really give you the desires of your heart? Well, today, we want to explore the truths of this principle, especially for those who require to know and be led by his will, that their life can be pleasing in his sight. Amen? Well, let's get into the Bible. Grab your Bibles. You know how we do here. Grab your Bibles. Don't come here Without a Bible, you need your Bible. You got to have your Bible. We're going to use the King James Version today, but we have just about every translation known to man, and we understand them well. I find, though, in all the translations, in lieu of the denominational preferences that are incorporated within, I have come to find that the King James Version is a Bible that sort of bridges all of the different translations, and most of the translations are actually extracted from. I love other translations. I endure them. But for the sake of the ecumenical process of teaching based on the different ways that we see, based on our denominational preferences, King James sort of keeps everybody on the same page. So today, to do that, we're going to all take this opportunity. If you do have the King James, grab it. If you're on an iPad or if you're on a tablet of some sort, you have the ability to flash between different translations. We're going to ask you just to translate over to the KJV, if you would. It would probably do us a great deal of justice for the study's sake. Well, there is a popular Psalms number 37, and in this Psalms there is a uniqueness to this phrase, this commonly used passage. So we're going to go into Psalms 37, and we're going to discuss this passage where everyone seems to love. Well, I love it. We all should love it. It's a great passage to embrace and to endorse. But let's look at what this means. Let's look at Psalms 37. We're going to take the whole chapter, if that's all right with you. And we'll begin at verse 1. The Bible declares, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither as the green herb." Verse 3 says, "Trust in Yahweh and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4 is where we want to focus. Watch what it says here. "Delight yourself in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." We always have to read 3 up and 3 down, so we'll read down to verse 7. "Commit your way unto Yahweh, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon Yahweh shall inherit earth." That's a beautiful thing. "For yet a while, a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt not diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." "The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon with his teeth. Yahweh shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming." Now, let's look at this. Let's go back up into it. I start reading Psalms, and I just love them. I keep going in them. But we wanted to read verse number 4. Let's look at what it says here. Everybody's talked about for a very long time, and Yahweh, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the actual decree and declaring of your word. And we receive that by faith because we delight in you by that same faith. Verse number 4 in Psalms 37, a very familiar passage of writ that many people have utilized, not on purpose to bring error into doctrine and or into activity of faith. But we've used this and we've said, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want to talk quickly about what this means. How do we delight ourselves in Yahweh and then allow him to give us the desires of our heart? And we've always been told from one pulpit to another, from one conference to another, from one convocation to another, from one prayer line to another, from one broadcast to another, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of our hearts. He'll give us our houses. He'll give us our cars. He'll give us our land. He'll give us our businesses. He'll give us our spouses. He'll give us this. He'll give us that. He'll give us money. He'll give us favor. He'll give us contracts. It sounds good. I mean, it really does. It sounds really good. It's very encouraging. It would be a wonderful thing, especially if that's actually what it meant. So let's look at what this does and what it does not mean. The Bible declares, if you'll pull up your, if you have a Strong's Concordance, you can go look up the word delight here. And we oftentimes don't understand that these words from the Old Testament called the Tanakh have definitions not in the Greek and not in the American language. They have definitions from their created or original language. And so when these were written in the Hebrew, as King David wrote this passage, you have to understand what it meant to him in the language he was writing from. So the word delight, if you look it up, is a Hebrew word, and it's called anag. Anag. Now, there are several different tenses and or several other words that the American language, which is your King James, King James is where we, well, anyway, the King James language, which is close to the American language, has taken and said means delight. Now, the word delight has several different meanings in the Hebrew. Well, the word delight doesn't have several different meanings in the Hebrew. The word we use in the American language for delight has been given to several different words in the Hebrew. But let's look at what it means. Delight here in Psalms 37:4 is a root word. It's a primitive root word. It means to be soft. It means to be pliable. It means to be delicate. It means to sport one's self with. Sport one's self with. And then to do that luxuriously. It means that you should be luxurious in the things of Yahweh and wear them as a person. I come from a northern region where it's relatively cold for several months of the year, and there are these coats that people luxuriate themselves with. They're called minks and chinchilla and furs. I know some of you people are connected to PETA. Well, you know, no disrespect, but Yahweh gave us the ability to do that. And matter of fact, he made the first mink coat, so you deal with that how you want to. But at the end of the day, people luxuriate in putting on a mink. If you've ever had the fur of another of a coat of that nature and you put it on, there's just no getting away from the feel of that on you. To rub your hands through that, the hair, the texture of that coat, whether it's a mink, like I say, whether it's a chinchilla, shoot, whether it's cat fur, some of y'all got them little, you know, dollar store furs. Raccoon, you know, whatever it is, you know, Dalmatians, you know, it's I'm having fun, people. Don't call Peter. I'm just having fun. All right. So, but to feel that mink or to feel that fur on your body and to wear it, the weight of it, it just makes you feel luxurious, and so you wear it proudly. You wear it fashionably. You wear it in an instant and or an essence that says, hey, look at this. So when we talk about delight, this is what he means. This word, delight, means to luxuriate yourself in sporting what Yahweh has given you. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Remember, he gives us our robe of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we don't make it ourselves, but he gives it to us. So we should wear that. We should delight in keeping that white robe clean. And when we wear what he has given us, we become pliable to that which has been given us. We become luxuriated and delicate, and we delight, and we become we sport it on ourselves, making it what people see rather than us. So when we delight ourselves in Yahweh, then he, in turn, in essence, in truth, is giving us the new desire of our heart. Because once you luxuriate in something, you've actually become, as we said before, pliable. You become soft-hearted towards it. So the truth is, what he has us to delight in, which is supposed to be something we're going to talk about in a moment, you should wear it. And now it becomes your desire. When you're wearing that coat, or for me, I love a good fabric in a suit as a man. There's no feeling like a cashmere fabric on your back, made in a pair of pants, or for ladies, made in a nice skirt or a nice full body dress. That there's nothing like that feel than a decent fabric count. And when you luxuriate in that feeling of what you have on you, it becomes what you want to project, and you want to project it rightly. So you change the way you walk. You walk upright. Your head is lifted because you feel good. Why? Because you look good. Well, you didn't make it, but Yahweh made it. So what he gives you to wear, you now want to let the world know, look, the Lord has done. So that is a form, that is a tense of delighting yourself in him. I'm going to talk about it in just a few moments. So when we delight ourselves in Yahweh, technically it is him who is giving us the desires of our heart. Now, so when we say in the church phraseology, in the church coin phrase, I should say, that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart, he'll give us our houses, he'll give us cars, he'll give us what we want. All I got to do is come to church. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, come to church, obey the pastor, come to church, obey the deacon board, come to church, do what the motherboard wants done, obey the church, come and serve your brother, help your neighbor, be there, be kind to everybody, be loving to your neighbor, be forgiving, be, all these different things that the Bible declares or the church has used as tenets for how to worship Elohim. When we begin to do these things, we think that's delighting ourselves in him. Truth is, they are tentacles, I should say. They are attachments, but that is not the core of what he means by delight. So let's deal with this from the writ and not from another man's commentary. Let's talk about this in a proper biblical define for what it means to delight. The next thing we want to look at then, since we talk about delighting, we should go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. Very familiar passage. Everybody knows that passage, but we oftentimes don't realize the significance of what this passage means. So when we say we want to delight ourselves in the Lord, that he can give us the desires of our heart, we need to understand what it really stands for. Look at this closely. Let's look at Psalms. Let's look at Psalms chapter 1. In Psalm 37, when we delight ourselves in Yahweh, and he shall give us the desires of our heart. Now, in 37, chapter 37, verse 4, it also goes on to say, when we commit our ways unto Yahweh, he will surely bring it to pass. Now, what is the it to pass? Well, technically, it's what he has given you. So let's look at what it means to delight ourselves in Yahweh. Psalms chapter 1, here it is. This is deep. You've read it. We've talked about it. I've quoted it. You quoted it. You've probably preached it. Many of you theologians who are on the line with us, we're so glad to hear that you all are tuning in. We want to make sure that you all get the opportunity to discuss and talk about this as well in your private times, in your theological circles of Midrash and study, because it's so important to continue to speak the word of Elohim amongst believers so that there is clarity and that there is viewpoint and that there is a study that develops between you. For when two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of us. And when we come together to talk about his word, he is glorified and he will bring revelation to you as a people like never before seen. And it'll cause you to walk in such degree of victory and empowerment. No man will stand against you. I'm telling you, it's important to catch. But let's talk about what delight means here. 37, verse 4 of Psalms says, if we delight ourselves, from the King James Version of the Bible, it declares, bless. And that's another word that we need to study one day. Empowered to prosper is what it means. Blessed, empowered to prosper, is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, there is a reason he makes these adjectives before he gets to what he wants to say. Let me say it again. Empowered to prosper is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, this is something no one has ever broken down for us, but today Ruach HaKodesh in this moment is going to give us some insight into this. To be empowered to prosper, to be blessed, is literally a process of thinking and worship. Well, the word worship in the American tongue comes from a word in the Hebrew tongue called obedience. So you are empowered to prosper when you obey. Now, he says that that man, that mankind, the word man there means mankind. It doesn't mean masculine per se. It can also incorporate the feminine. It means mankind. So empowered is mankind when he walks not in the counsel of those who are ungodly. To be ungodly means we don't do as Elohim says should be done. We don't operate. We don't consult his word. We consult our own words. He also says consult their own words. That's ungodliness. Then he states, nor does he or mankind stand in the way of sinners, people who just are not knowledgeable of the law, not knowledgeable of what is right in him, and don't desire to seek what is the right way, even if they've erred. But to find the right way and then to do it makes one not a sinner. All right, so he says, blessed is the man, empowered is mankind that will walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. And here's another piece we want you to catch, nor sit in the seat of scornful people. Well, we have to understand that this is important because to be scornful, the Hebrew word there is lutz. To scoff at, have derision of, to make a mockery of, to be a scorner or a scornful teacher, to be a mocker, to make their mouth to mock or to scoff. So when you and I sit in the presence of that type of a person, we cannot and will not prosper. We cannot prosper in the counsel of ungodly. We cannot prosper in the counsel or stand in the seat of sinners. Look at what he says. This is beautiful. Verse number 2. He says, but mankind's delight is in, the law of Yahweh. A better way to interpret that for the Hebrew is his delight is in the Torah. And in his law, in the Torah, doth mankind meditate day and night. You know, it's interesting because oftentimes we read this passage with great anticipation that Elohim's going to do something for us, but yet we fail to do what it says. We don't oftentimes delight ourselves in the Torah day and night. Sometimes we get a word and we go and contemplate it in our mind and think about how we should get it done, and here's what I think, here's what I should do, here's what's going to happen, here's got that, we do this, I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to do this. And we do all the other things but meditating in his word. But yet we want verses 3 through 5, 3 through 4. So let's just look at a way in which we, once delighting in Yahweh, can receive the desires of our heart. Look at this. This is so important to get. Verse 2, Psalms 1. But mankind's delight, the man who can prosper, his delight must be in the Torah. Verse 2, I'm going to pull the word delight up so you can understand what this light, this word means. Now listen, this word delight, again, we translated a Hebrew word into the word delight. But let's look at what it means. It means, and the word is pronounced chafetz, chafetz. And it is to pleasure one's self. It means to desire concretely this valuable thing. It matters to you significantly. It is something that is completely and captivating of your mind. It is acceptable to you. It is a desire. It's a thing that you desire. It is a thing that matters most to you. It is a thing you are purposefully willing to engage as your pleasantry or your pleasure. We ask ourselves, honestly, is our way of thinking more important to us than the Torah's way of thinking? And if we don't delight ourselves in Torah more than we delight ourselves in our secular, academic, so-called street hustle way of thinking, and we delight more in that, then we have to question who our God is. And if the blessings of our God that we have read about, you know, it says what he's done for one, he'll do for two. What he's done for another, he'll do for you. Why aren't they finding us? Why aren't those blessings chasing us down and overtaking us? Because in truth, we don't really delight in him. And therefore, the desires of our heart are not his. When we delight in his law, then the law becomes our desire. That's what it really means when he says, when you delight yourself in Yahweh, he gives you the desires of your heart. It's really what it means. When you allow him into your heart, and you make him the pleasure, you make him the purpose, you make him the valuable thing, you make him the concrete desire of your soul, you make him acceptable, you make him delightsome in you, you make him desirous of you, you make your taste buds crave him, and you delight, and you meditate in his word day and night, instead of in the mall, wondering about what new pair of red bottoms you can get, or what new pair of Stacey Adams one can pick up, or what new thing of fashion and trend and society and in culture, what new television episode we can watch, what new sporting events we can be up on. And we know more about statistics of sports than we know about passages others writ. We know more about fashion statements in Milan and in Texas and in Atlanta and in China than we do about the passages of his writ. We know more about the gossip on our block and who did what, when, and why they did it, and the scoffing we do at that than we do about what his word says. And then we wonder why the blessings of Elohim don't overtake us. It's because we've not delighted ourselves. We've not made the desire, we've not made ourselves soft and pliable to his word, his robe of right righteousness. These things are how we prosper. These things are how we actually see the desires of our hearts. Now, here's the catch. I love a Bentley. I really do. I love the Bentley. I love the fly. It's called the Flying Spur. I love the vehicle. It's a cute, accessory. It's not a necessity. It's a vehicle. It's just a high-end luxury vehicle. But all you need is a vehicle. But just like you have your preference of what you like as a vehicle, or you like to have a house with, whether it's a white picket fence or it's a pool, or whether it's a 5-7 bedroom, or whether it's a 2-bedroom, whether it's a condo, whether it's in a certain community, whether it's got certain paint or certain tile, whatever it is that you may legitimately enjoy and like, it's something that you have a taste and a fashion for. But here's the catch. Those are not the desires that Yahweh is saying he will give you because you go to church, or because you make prayer meeting, or because you do some religious observation within your church structure. What he means is, when you wear the word, listen, when you wear the word, you tailor make the Torah to your soul. Remember, the Bible declares that in the Brit Hadassah, the New Testament, it says that you should make work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling before Yahweh our Elohim. And what that means is, when you work out, that means you try to, and you make it a point to tailor, make, and custom fit the Torah to your life. That's so good. Because when you do that, you do what Yeshua did. Here, let me help you. Let me connect the dots for you, because some of you are going to blow your, don't hold your weaves on. Don't let them fly off. But here it comes. You ready? Keep your socks on, brothers. Listen to this. That's what he said when he said in the word, I didn't come to destroy the Torah. I came to show you how to wear it. That word there should have also been interpreted, delight in it. Mm-hmm. But because it comes from a Greek, and the Greek translated the Hebrew, and the Hebrew got translated from the Latin, and the Latin to the Greek, and then the Greek came to America, and then the American was came, all that got transliterated and translated into something different. But the truth is, when Yeshua was in the earth, he says, I didn't come to do away with the Torah. I did not come to do away with Psalms 1's element of delighting in the law. I came to show you how to wear it, like Psalms 37:4, how to make it and luxuriate yourself within it. Now, I didn't get a house. Listen, if we were right in our doctrine that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart, you got to remember something that Yeshua said to the disciples who followed him in the book of Matthew. One young man wanted to follow Yeshua. He says, what must I do to inherit? He says, go sell all that you have and come and follow me. One guy says, man, I can't do that. Deuces, I'm out. Then another guy, a different, completely different guy, says, I want to follow you. He says, all right, now before you talk about coming to follow me, listen to him who is luxuriating in Torah. He is the living, walking example of Torah. Not example, in sample, because X means he's dead. In sample means he's yet living. So this in sample, this living, morphing, continually, perpetually changing and moving and never exhausting ways of the word on how it should work within us, he is luxuriated in the Torah. He says, before you follow me, young man, remember this. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So the comforts and the luxurious things that you have today in your brick and mortar buildings, hewn out of these clefts, in the city of Jerusalem, in the region of Samaria, in the area of Judea, those luxuries we don't operate with. And I know how you've been raised. I know how you've been cultured. I know how you've been nurtured and these types of things and the amenities thereof. Where I'm going, if you're going to follow me, you must leave those elements of your concept of luxury behind. And you must luxuriate yourself in the Torah, because where I go, this coat on me, this Torah I have become soft to, I have become pliable with, I have allowed to cover me, I sport on my flesh, I sport on myself. In it, it provides what I need. So if you don't like sleeping in places that would seem uncouth, you might not want to follow me, because if you've been so used to the luxuries you have, the way we get our luxuries, you might think weird, and it could cause you to not see how Elohim provides. Now, people say, Apostle, that's just too deep. You shouldn't. You can't say that. You don't know if that's what happened. Okay, well, just stay close for just a few more seconds. Yeshua tells him, he says, foxes have holes. Mm-hmm. Birds of the field and birds of the trees, they have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But yet he lacked nothing. That's why he said, I didn't come to destroy Torah, because what you built here, you put your trust in brick and you put your trust in mortar, you put your trust in precious stone, you put your trust in this, you put your trust in that. I didn't come to destroy Torah. I came to show you how to wear it. So again, when we talk about kofet, the word for delight in your King James Version of the Bible, defined in that moment of time from the Hebrew word used at that moment of time called kofet. It means to delight, to pleasure, to abstractly desire, to concretely value, to accept as totally delightsome, to desire it. It means to make a matter a thing of desire. It must become your pleasure. It must become purposeful in your life. Now, when we put on Torah, the will of Elohim is in Torah. And there, watch this, are the desires that your heart will now cleave to. You'll forget about Pastor Apostle Jones. You forget about your Bentley. You'll forget about your idea of what makes you happy in the earth. When you make the Torah what makes you happy, the Torah is what makes you strong. When you meditate in it day and night. Well, let's talk about that. Let's look at that. Since you may not believe me, let's just go back to Psalms 1 again. Verse 2 says, but his pleasure, his craving for the word, his blissful concrete valuing of the Torah of Yahweh. And when he is purposefully valuing and concretely trying to live by this Torah, he meditates in this Torah day and night. Once mankind does this, verse 3, Psalms chapter 1, it states, he shall be like a tree. Watch this. He shall, that mankind, again, don't forget, mankind here does not mean masculine. It also incorporates the feminine because the two equal mankind. And he's not talking about just the male and the chauvinistic viewpoint in which some of this has been written. It's not that. There's no chauvinism in the writ. When he talks about man, he's talking about mankind. Adam and Eve were mankind. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, and he created man, male and female, created he them, and he called their name Adam. So Adam, being plural yet singular in pulchritude, was called mankind. So mankind is what he's discussing here in Psalms chapter 1. But look at what he says in verse 3. If that man delights in the law of Torah, in the word of Yahweh, and he meditates and sports himself in that suit of covering, he, whoever he is, wherever he is, wherever mankind is, whatever mankind is doing, they will be like a tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, the greatest thing a tree can have happen to it is like what we say in the world of real estate. Location, location, location. This tree that he speaks of here in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, is planted, rooted, stabilized, foundationalized by a river of water. Now, notice it says rivers, not one, but plural banks of water, because one river could shut off. But if there's another river nearby, the root system can get to that moisture and live on. So when he says this, you'll have multiple streams that cause a tree to always bring forth its fruit in its season. And his leaf, because he's connected to rivers, he's planted by rivers of water. That's what the Torah represents for you. Rivers of water. Oh, you don't believe me? Let me show you something. Go to Genesis chapter number 1. It's so dynamic. I love his words. Go to Genesis chapter 1. It's so beautiful. In Genesis chapter 1, you're going to see something. Watch. It's going to help you. Genesis chapter 1. He believes in having mankind planted by rivers of waters. Rivers of water. I'm sorry. I said Genesis 1. I'm in Genesis 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to verse number, let's go to verse, I think it's 8. Look at this. Let's go to 7 so you can get a real good grasp for this in everything that we do here. In Genesis chapter 8, it's so good, so healthy for us. I love his word. Let's go quickly there. You have it. I know you can't say amen, but we're going to see you say amen to it. It's so good. Genesis chapter number 1. Oh, my soul is rejoicing right now. Some of y'all should be shouting, rejoicing, screaming, and hollering because his word is so pure, so true. Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 7. And Yahweh our Elohim formed man from the dust of the ground, that's us, mankind. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and mankind became a living soul. Verse 8. And Yahweh our Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Then it says, out of the ground made Yahweh our Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and that is good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse number 10. Watch this. Watch this. I told you what Psalms 91, Psalms 1 says. It says, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. This is so good. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. So the first was called Pison, that is, which compasses the whole land of Havilah, which Havilah is the land where there is, or the river, the land, and the river goes through the land of gold Have you ever panned for gold? Have you ever heard of the concept of panning for gold? Wherever the land is that has gold in it, when the river runs through it, the gold is in the water. Gold looks like rock. It looks like a regular rock until it's been understood, refined, and shows the precious metal that it is from the oxidizing of the sun. So Yahweh is always wanting you to have multiple streams of income. If y'all going to talk to me in a minute, I wish somebody was just as happy about this as I am. Glory to Yahweh or Elohim. If you are, go on our apostles page and just say, I will delight myself in him. Just go there and make that post on the apostles page. I will delight and emphasize delight. Put quotation marks and capitalize the word delight myself in the Lord. Because once you know better, now you're going to do better. I'm learning it too. It's blowing my mind. It's freshening me up right now as I'm sharing it with you. But verse 11 says, and the name of the first head of rivers was Pison, that which is compasseth the whole land of Havilah. There is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is also bedlam and onyx stone. Now, y'all thought I brought y'all here to talk about gold. No, I brought y'all here to talk about streams of rivers, rivers of water. Watch this. And the name of the second river is Gihon. That same is compassing the whole land of Ethiopia, one of the wealthiest parcels of land in and on the planet. Don't let what you see about it in the third world media today confuse you with what it was in that day. Verse 14 says, and the third river is the river Hiddekel, that is, which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the river Euphrates. Look at this. Next verse. And Yahweh our Elohim took man and put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. Wait a minute. You got confused when it says to dress it and keep it. But if you stop and look at 15, right? He tells us, I put four rivers. I put rivers of water near Adam, and I planted him near rivers of waters. And as long as he kept my law, as long as he delighted in me, his fruit would come forth in his season. Oh, my soul rejoices in this. And his leaf will not wither. And whatsoever man did prospered. But now the ungodly, the ones who don't keep my law, the ones who don't, though they mess up, they sin, they error, those who don't desire to do godly, they're not that way. But they become like the chaff, which the wind drives away. See, if the wind can drive you away, usually you're without water. You are called fallow ground, flaky, dry, without libation, without moisture. Interesting, huh? So, Apostle, what's it mean? What have we learned today? Well, I ask you, to delight yourself in Yahweh is to do what Yeshua did, to do what David was speaking of. When we delight ourselves in Yahweh, in his Torah, then the desires of our heart are given to us. Psalms 1 references it. You can also go to Isaiah 58. Yeah, might as well. We only got enough time for one more passage anyway.
You've heard me talk about Isaiah 58 because of Sabbath. Well, it's all connected. He always wants us to understand what he wants to do in Sabbath. And it's intriguing to me how he connects the dots for us, but we somehow keep doing what we think church is about. And we miss it. We really, really miss it. So today we want you to get it so you don't have to be searching again. In Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, y'all should know this by now. Some of y'all should be able to quote this on demand. Look at what he says. This is Yahweh speaking to his chosen people, Israel. Say, I am Israel. Say it. Say, I am Israel. Mm-hmm. Good. If you, Israel, turn away your foot from the Sabbath, meaning turn away from doing your pleasures. Whoa, wait a minute. He doesn't want you doing your pleasures on his holy day. But he does want you to call the Sabbath what? A delight. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, what a delight. Did we just learn about delight? I think we did. It's so intriguing to me what he wants us to grasp. So the word delight here in verse 13 is a word that says, get this, oneg. Wow. I'm in the studio and it's storming outside. It broke through the studio, the sound bars. But listen, it is the word oneg. Guess what this word means? To luxuriate yourself, to delight yourself, to consider it pleasant. Yeah, so let's look at verse 13. If you will call the Sabbath my luxury. Oh, I'm about to scream. If you will call the Sabbath my luxury, my pleasure, and if you'll call it the holy of Elohim, the Kodesh of Yahweh, make it honorable. And if you shall honor him by wearing Sabbath, because it was made for the man, and not do your own ways in Sabbath when you're wearing his word, not finding your own pleasures in Sabbath, not speaking your own words in Sabbath, but luxuriating in my words, call my words holy and honorable. Oh, some of y'all quaking. I feel some of y'all shaking like I'm shaking right now. Then, look at this. Verse 14 says, then, oh, shalt thou delight. Yeah, that's that word, onog again. Not oneg, but onog. It means, then shall you make yourself pliable to, shall you make yourself sport my word, and you will make yourself soft and pliable to Yahweh. And look what happens when you make yourself soft and pliable to Yahweh. Oh, verse 14 is so good. It says, Yahweh says, I will then cause you. Now, the word cause here, I think, requires us to take a look-see at that word cause. When he says, I will cause you, I will place upon you, I will bring to you, I will dispatch to you, I will carry you up on like a horse on horseback. I will ride you in a chariot, and I will set you on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth Adonai, the creative power, the creative spirit, the speaking spirit, the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Well, we've got to sort of end this broadcast, but I would that you all would, if you've enjoyed this and you understand this, I want you to go to our Apostle B.W. Jones Facebook page, and I want you to say, I will, quotation mark, all caps, delight myself in Yahweh. If it changed you, share with me how it changed you. Share with me how you now see this differently. And I took no commentary of man. This all came from the writ. Well, I'm sort of kind of running out of time, and I really would like to keep going on this, but I want you to do that. Go. But I need you to do us a favor. Keep this ministry in your prayers. We've come across some very financially challenging times, and many people would love to see us go down in flames and fail and falter. But we have a lot of things that have to get done and a lot of commitments we've made to bring these types of broadcasts to you, and we need to be able to make those fulfillments. We need to make sure that we keep places that we can worship from and keep these particular broadcasts and programs coming before you. We need your financial support. We do. We're not begging you for money. We're just asking you to consider if you've learned anything and you've been being edified. Don't just, you know, keep gleaning. Sow into it. This is good ground. If you're getting good fruit from here, take an opportunity to let Ruach HaKodesh tell you what to do. Some of you can sow $1 million. Some of you can sow $3 million. Some of you can sow $20. Whatever it might be, it'll all be used to keeping the platforms available that Yahweh's word in this capacity can be shared. I'm petitioning you to allow Ruach HaKodesh to speak to your heart about sowing into this ministry. Become a partner with VWJ Ministries. Go to our webpage, vwjministries.com. Your seed can be sown electronically and immediately, and we will receive it in faith. We pray over every seed. We pray over every tithe. We pray over every partnership that Yahweh returns it back unto you. Some 100-fold, not percentage, fold. We need your support. So that's our petition. We place that before the Father, but we're also believing that you will now delight yourself in Yahweh and let him cause the five rivers, the four rivers of streaming water to cause your fruit to never be cast before its season and let your leaf never, never wither. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? And whatever you do, you won't have the Midas touch because that means it's going to turn to gold. And if it turned to gold, you can't use it. You got to sell it. But whatever you do prospers. Well, this is our prayer for you today. Hope that this has been a good broadcast for you. Let us know. Go to our Apostle V.W. Jones page. And remember, consider sowing a seed. We do need your support. I'm not going to act like it's not true. Ministry is difficult. And sometimes it gets even more difficult. But today we need your help. And we're asking you. That's our job.
The Bible declares, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is." We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team and a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.